Oh, baby, what a show. Still digesting an absolutely insane week five of football. We dive into the post week five people's panic meter after a breezy Monday night football recap. Is it time to freak out about Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall? What does Dalton Del Don think about his guy, Anthony Richardson? Is he potentially going to get benched for Joe Flacco? I mean, come on, what a tease. These are headlines you want to click. A lot of other players discussed in this one. Travis Etienne, George Pickens, Tank Dell. Is it over for these guys? What is the panic meter at? And who are some guys you could pick up off the waiver wire heading into week six? All that and more coming up on today's show. Let's get into it. It's Tuesday, October 8th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. And it is a hell of a day to talk ball. Before we dive into the post week five people's panic meter, all the players you need to target on the waiver wire, the players you need to absolutely freak out about like we do every Tuesday with Dalton Del Don, I'm going to recap the Monday night football action here. It was an interesting game that we got. Chiefs 23, Saints 13. I'll start with the Saints side first before we get to the not 2018, but the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, man, the Saints, you know, the weeks one through two results feel like a far cry from what we've seen the last few games for the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, I think that is to be expected. As exciting as the Saints offense was in the first couple weeks of the season, you know, they were beating up on a bad Panthers defense. They were beating up on a Cowboys defense that, you know, I don't think is great at this point, and also didn't come into that game prepared. They were mostly throwing the typical Shanahan system pitches, right? Outside zone runs, a lot of play action, you know, under center stuff, the motion at the snap, the whole deal. All that stuff makes your offense more efficient. But you're going to get out-talented against good defenses. We've seen that with the New Orleans Saints. We saw it on Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs team that absolutely got after them up front. You know, this is a team in the Saints that had offensive line questions coming into the year. And now we've seen that unit with injuries is really not up to snuff here. Derek Carr was pretty much harassed all night from the early going here. His first interception was on a play where he was clearly feeling the pressure, just kind of chucked it up there. Don't know if he was looking to throw it away, but obviously that did not that didn't result in anything good. That was kind of the story all night. And then obviously Derek Carr, the big news here coming out of this is that he left the game with an oblique injury, and Jake Haener came in to mop this game up, not Spencer Rattler, who many people were intrigued to see. He's the emergency third quarterback. Jake Haener won this job in the offseason. Haener didn't do anything that inspires your confidence going forward for the New Orleans Saints. So definitely problematic if you have any Saints players on your roster. You know, Derek Carr, he is what he is. He has his flaws. You saw that in this game tonight. But Jake Haener, I don't know what the hell we're getting with Jake Haener under center. It's unfortunate because it's a great matchup next week at home in New Orleans against a Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary that we saw on Thursday can absolutely be filleted. I think a lot of these NFC South games could be pretty high scoring, but I'm not quite sure what the hell we're going to get with Jake Haener under center. Pretty much a disappointing night for the Saints offense, unless, you know, you have Rashid Shaheed, who just the only thing working for the Saints that was working in the first part of the season that's still there is just Rashid Shaheed splitting the two deep safeties, man, on these vertical post routes. So that's pretty cool to see. He obviously, that's the kind of, again, the one thing that's going right in this offense. Even he only caught four of his nine targets. Look, I never want to come on here. You guys know this. You listen to the podcast. You know I'm not about just like one of these fantasy analysts that comes on here and wants to complain about targets and why didn't we get this guy the ball? Well, it's pretty crazy. I know that the Chiefs were doing stuff to game plan around Chris Olave. I know they've got a great secondary, but yo, it's just wild that two catches for 10 yards for Chris Olave in this game, really no first read gimme looks for him. Just insane stuff, I think, in this one. I mean, look, no disrespect to Mason Tipton, but I study wide receivers for a living. I don't have any idea who the hell Mason Tipton is. So that was disappointing to see from the Saints offense. Overall, super just let down of a performance from them. And with Derek Carr and this oblique injury, you know, he's come back from injuries last year, his first year at the Saints. He definitely came back pretty quickly from that injury where it sounded like he was going to miss multiple weeks. He played the very next game and dumped the ball off to Alvin Kamara like a billion times. So he could be back next week. Who knows? But obviously, this looks like it could be a multi-week absence. And if that's the case, man, it's a bummer because it comes at a great time for guys like Shaheed and Chris Olave next week to bounce back against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary. But that's probably not what we're going to get if Jake Haener is under center. Flip it over to the Chiefs side here. The team that won the game at home. Just Kareem Hunt leading the team with 27 carries, 102 yards and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster leads the way in the receiving room, 7 catches for 130 yards on 8 targets. Man, what year is it? Robin Williams from Jumanji. What year is it? One of my favorite gifts of all time. That just applies to this Chiefs statistical box score here. Clearly, we know that Kareem Hunt's the lead back here. You know, Carson Steele, not in the circle of trust. Samaje Perine, just kind of a bit player for this team. Not a guy that's going to get base down carries at all. It's going to be as much like workload as Kareem Hunt can handle. You know, and he has a long run of 8 yards in this game. He's not a guy I think that's going to flip the field for this damn Chiefs offense. But I mean, he's going to be out there, and he's going to be kind of a guy that you're playing at your running back 2 spot. You're feeling pretty good if you got him off waivers. I will certainly cop to not expecting this and being pretty surprised that this is the result for Kareem Hunt. I don't know how long it's going to last. You know, Kareem Hunt's an older player. He's certainly not an efficient back anymore, but as long as he's out there getting 20 plus carries for even this version of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, he is a fantasy starter. That just is what it is. And a guy like this getting this workload in this offense, yeah, you're playing that dude in fantasy until the wheels come off. I think the wheels could come off, but that's where we're at right now. In the receiver room, again, it's Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, and Mecole Hardman are the 3 most productive receivers in this room. Just, I mean, outrage from the Chiefs offense throwing these guys out there. Juju Smith-Schuster showing that, like, oh yeah, Rashee Rice, I get it. He earns targets. I get it. He's a good young player. That is some replaceable routes. They took this generation's Juju Smith-Schuster. He's out. He's probably out for the rest of the season now. We're just going to take the OG model, the vintage model, the old Juju Smith-Schuster, the original, and throw him into the mix here and pretty much get a Rashee Rice-type production from Juju Smith-Schuster. The only target that Juju didn't bring in was probably one of the plays of the freaking season, Callen Saunders. Juju plops a pass up in the end zone. You've all seen the play by now. Saunders runs 15 miles per hour, according to Next Gen Stats, on the interception. Hey, great hands. I mean, Callen Saunders got to teach Dontayvion Wicks a thing or two about tracking the football and plucking that thing out of the air, because that was a great catch and run afterwards. Tried to hurdle a guy, knocked Xavier Worthy off him. What a play by Saunders. Probably one of the best plays of the year. Probably the best play overall in this game, which, you know, from a fantasy perspective, it's a weird one. I think the Chiefs are going to be in a lot of weird games from a fantasy perspective for the rest of the season. We'll see how long this stuff can last. We'll see how long, like, Kareem Hunt and Juju can be super productive players for this team. As long as they're out there and they fit the system, they are definitely going to be fantasy options. You know, we're not going to talk Juju in the waiver wire section with Dalton, because that we recorded that much earlier in the day. But if he is available in your league, and he is certainly widely available in Yahoo leagues right now, he's somebody you should be picking up and potentially considering as a wide receiver on your team, because he's going to be the most productive guy here going forward. The guys we actually expected to get the ball in the 2024 NFL season for the Chiefs: Travis Kelce, he looks like he's back, locked and loaded, 9 catches, 70 yards. You can feel great about him if you drafted him at tight end. I think we're in a good spot there with Travis Kelce. And look, Xavier Worthy, like, he's just not ready to be a every route wide receiver, a high volume guy. He gets 6 targets here. He scores on a rushing play. If you had to play him, great. You got that rushing touchdown, but I don't think he's going to be a guy that's getting a ton of volume from just a full route tree perspective. That's just where he is at his development right now. We'll have to continue to track that throughout the course of the season. For the Chiefs playoff hopes, I think they have to at some point consider, like, yeah, we got to put more on Worthy's plate. I don't know if he's up to it, but we got to try to put more on Worthy's plate and get him up to speed, because that's the only way I think they're going to really be a dangerous offense that can, you know, win big time games, not just beat the Saints, a hobbling Saints team on Monday Night Football. But we'll see. We don't do Chiefs doubt on this podcast, because that is a losing proposition every single time you want to do it. All right. With that, let's get into the post week 5 People's Panic Meter with the man, the myth, the legend, Dalton Del Don. Let's get into it. All right, and joining me now is my good friend, Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Harmon. It's been a while. You were out a couple weeks ago. I missed last week's show, so it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. I'm glad that you are feeling better. Glad that you're back in the saddle. Scott did a great job filling in for you, but we missed you around these parts, and I've missed podcasting with you specifically, buddy. So we've got a full house here today as we fire up the post week 5 People's Panic Meter.
Would you say it's time for everyone to panic?
Yes, I would, Kent.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening!
No! Wait!
Everybody stay calm!
We got a bunch of names to get into here, Dalton. Reminder for the people at home how this works. We go through your submissions, either to fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com. We'll say you only have one email this week. A little disappointed about that. I guess everybody's having a great week. I guess everybody's just feeling real good about how their fantasy week went. But we also take social submissions as well. I tweet out the call to action every single week. We got a bunch of good responses from the good people of social media. We go through all these, the people, the players, the teams that you're panicking about. We either decide if it's no panic, some panic, total panic, or if we're sending you to the coping corner. If players, teams, offenses, whatever, get placed in the coping corner, we have the LA Rams and Mark Andrews in the coping corner. I actually hit producer Colin up during Sunday's games. Like, we put Mark Andrews in the coping corner, right? Thank God. Like, what? Because the coping corner, we don't talk about them anymore. There's no more panic. You're just dealing with the reality of what it is. And that's certainly the case for Mark Andrews at this point in the season. Dalton, let's get into our first submission here, our only email submission. Joey M. sent this in, I want to say, like, right after the final whistle of Thursday Night Football. I'm so done with Bijan Robinson. It's not his fault. He rocks. But why the hell is he only getting 15 touches in a close game? Why is Kirk Cousins dropping back 60 times? Why is Tyler Allgeier out there with 3 minutes and 50 seconds left? And also at the start of overtime, is Zach Robinson a moron or what? What am I supposed to do with this guy? Dalton, what are we supposed to do with a guy who was drafted, the ADP of running back 3? His current ranking is running back 21. And obviously, he's coming off a bit of a frustrating game on Thursday night.
Certainly, some panic is warranted here. Bijan's also seen his target shares drop 7%, 12%, 6% over the last 3 games, coincided with a drop in route participation. Bijan has 1 top 5 fantasy finish in a week in his entire career. So all that said, this lack of usage recently... In week 4, he was added late with to the injury report with a shoulder issue, and then he had a Thursday night game in which he may have picked up a hamstring injury, and now he does have 10 days to rest up, and he gets a prime matchup with the Panthers. So it's like, don't sell Bijan low now, but I get that there's panic. I mean, yeah, man, he's splitting work, and we took him as a top 5 pick.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think some panic is my verdict on this one with you too, because it's just a little disconcerting that he hasn't been kind of fully unleashed. I will say, I don't think Zach Robinson is a moron. I actually think the offense is pretty good there in Atlanta. And I mean, listen, I get it, Joey. I understand your frustration that Bijan had that workload. I was definitely pushing back on people on Thursday night getting upset about, why aren't they running the ball? Why aren't they running the ball? Yo, Kirk Cousins is dicing up the Buccaneers. The secondary in Tampa is atrocious. They went in, like, you definitely can't call Zach Robinson a moron for that game plan, going in there and ripping up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's exactly what they should have done. They were perfectly using Drake London in that game. All those, like, big slot receiver routes, the in-breakers. You know, Darnell Mooney's doing the Darnell Mooney thing. Like, yeah, I think everything Pitts even showed up, right? I mean, come on. Like, so look, nothing. I think this is generally just, and we'll talk about, I think we might talk about the Jets. We definitely talk about the Jets later on. There's a little bit of like a, hey, not everybody's going to eat in a given week, right? Like, it's just, this is the tough thing about taking two guys in Bijan and Drake London. And certainly, again, we'll get to it with the Jets. Two guys that, quote, haven't done it yet, haven't both been like elite players. Honestly, like, yeah, one of them might lose out on any given week. It was Bijan Robinson in this game. And I don't think you can fault Zach Robinson and the Falcons for what they did. They attacked a clear weak point in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. They went to work on it, and they got a great result, and they won the freaking game. So, like, yeah, I don't think you can complain about the game plan and how they were used, any of that stuff. But you're so right, Dalton. Like, week six, Panthers, what are you going to do? You know, we're only some panic here, because what are you going to do? You bench Bijan Robinson? No, he can easily bounce back in this game, coming off a long week of rest, potentially dealing with an injury there. Seattle in week seven, they just gave up 100 yards to Tyrone Tracy. They get these Bucks again, and then they get the Cowboys in week nine, who certainly have had their issues defending the run. So I'm only at like some very minor panic here with Bijan. Maybe he doesn't end up as the running back one this year, but there's no reason to think like he's playing well. The team obviously really likes him and wants to use him. Like, Tyler Algier was never going to totally go away. I'm not too concerned about the situation here.
I've heard some complaints about how he's been used just exclusively in zone schemes or something, but in general, I'm with you here, and they definitely don't give up on him before this matchup. And in general, it's a good thing that Kirk Cousins has looked so much better than week one.
Yeah,
I mean, let's
totally
zoom back up. You know, after week one, we were in total panic mode, but he's not taking all pistol, and he's looking through for 500 yards. So that can be seen as a positive last week's matchup, even though it wasn't Bijan, as you said, everyone else ate, and he'll get his turn soon enough.
Yeah, and Falcons are dealing with offensive line injuries too. So that's another thing. They might get these guys healthier as the year goes on. So we'll continue to monitor that situation, and hopefully that can get better as the year goes on. So yeah. Only some panic for Bijan Robinson, but I understand, obviously, the guy was a top five draft pick. Generally, it's a little irritating that he's, you know, not had this massive, massive week, but it could happen any moment. It could happen this week. All right, let's move on to our social media submissions. This first one comes in from Michael C. Josh Allen. It's a caveman offense. Receivers don't separate. And despite today, he's running less since his hand injury. Okay, let's talk about Josh Allen and this caveman offense. Josh Allen was obviously drafted to QB1 overall, and his current ranking is QB6. Okay. Dalton, any level of panic with Josh Allen? I have a lot of thoughts about how this offense has operated the last 2 weeks.
I'm leaning with no panic here. Curious your take. Allen did have the most rushing yards in a game this season on Sunday. He also had the worst game, one of the worst games of his career. I mean, 4.4 YPA. His completion percentage over expectation was in the first percentile. This is lucky a second quarter pass wasn't picked off. We all seen that he couldn't connect with Mac Hollins wide open. Would have been a 60-yard touchdown. You tell me if I'm wrong here, but did he really miss Khalil Shakir that much? Is he the missing component here? Allen finished 1 of 14 when pressured, your guy Nate Tice tweeted. That's crazy. And we also must touch on the fact he was knocked out with 6 minutes left, and they called it an ankle injury, and he only missed one snap. He would have missed no snaps if not for that turnover. He's as tough as it gets, and he played, and hopefully he's okay, but man, it looked like he suffered a concussion. But back-to-back really rough games, but to me, no panic. Allen's going to be a beast. You could talk me differently. This offense, I mean, yeah, there's no digs, and there and Kincaid's not stepping up as we all hoped. I mean,
yeah,
am I wrong here? Is there some panic? If you look at the rest of the quarterback landscape right now, and I'm like, I'm still ranking Allen top three every week is kind of where I'm landing.
Yeah, I generally lead to no panic from an overall picture perspective, and we'll get to Dalton Kincaid. He's our next one here. We'll specifically dial in on him. But just on Josh Allen particularly, yeah, I think in the long run it is still no panic here, because this is how this is going to go. The Bills offense is still well designed. I think it's sound enough, and I think obviously Josh Allen is good enough to completely dunk on teams like the Cardinals and the Jags. You know, obviously the weird game script in Miami, but you know, that was a game that they easily ran away with because of that offensive performance in week two. Those games are going to happen. I do think when he goes against some tougher defenses and especially good secondaries, these outside wide receivers are terrible from a separation standpoint. And like, you know, I was having fun with it this morning. You know, people that think separation or route running doesn't matter, don't watch the Texans, Ravens, Bills film. I'll tell you that, like, because just nobody's open there on the outside. He does not have options to consistently rely on. It is very low percentage throws with the way they're using Keon Coleman as a pure outside ball winning receiver. You know, I thought Mac Hollins would be doing like sacrificial X receiver stuff. He's not doing sacrificial X receiver stuff. He's just kind of like a base player in the offense running like real routes. And we're kind of like enough already with that at this point. I get that you want him out there because he blocks and things like that, but why did you pay Curtis Samuel all this money if you're just never going to play him? I don't really understand that, because he actually does get open in beat man coverage. Maybe he's not 100% healthy after that turf toe injury to start the year. But I do think you're going to have frustrating lower ceiling moments for a guy like Josh Allen when he goes against teams like Baltimore and Houston. He plays New York next week in New York against the Jets. He plays the Titans, who have been much better than people realize on defense in week 7. But then 3 games in a row, Seahawks, Dolphins, Colts, before a big Week 11 matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. By the like in the aggregate, I think Josh Allen will still be a top 3-4 fantasy quarterback. So it's really not that big of a deal. But there are going to be some lower floor moments than what we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, you think the loss of Diggs is that dramatic of an impact? I think he's just going to make such an impact running, and Brady still wants to run it, and he's so involved as a runner in the red zone, you know. But this matchup with the Jets will qualify as a tough secondary. So, yeah, it might be another tough one here before it starts getting better.
Here's the thing when you learn, like when you lose a guy like Stephon Diggs, and we always focus on the actual impact of the like player, right? Like the statistical impact of the player and what a guy like Diggs, you take him out of there. And like, look, I do think Diggs is he's not the same player that he was. He's having a good year in Houston, but he's not the same player that he was. We always focus on that part of it. Like, okay, you're taking his production out of the offense. It's really the impact of a guy like that on the offense. And I think you're seeing this right now, definitely with the Raiders. You will continue to see it, even, you know, whatever you think of Davante Adams at this point. Those guys are still coverage dictators, man. And they are matchup dictators. And, you know, you're forcing that other safety to that side of the field. Nobody's scared of the Bills outside wide receivers right now. And definitely getting Khalil Shakir back in there will help, because he's just an easy button, move the offense down the field. But I also think they're rotating these wide receivers too much as well. Like, it's very, like, first chapter of the Chiefs season last year, where they have a bunch of dudes coming in off the field. So I think the loss of Diggs really is felt because they don't have one reliable guy that, like, okay, this dude on the backside of plays is going to be open against man coverage. They don't have that guy right now for sure. And they also don't have somebody dictating coverages either. So it's just like, all right, we can, the last 2 weeks, we've just seen two good secondaries press man the hell out of these receivers, and that just makes the margin for error very thin for Josh Allen, no matter how good of a player he is. And certainly when you don't have Khalil Shakir, you're in a lot of trouble there.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the splits last were dramatic throughout his career with and without Diggs, but I think he'll get it figured out. But this is definitely one of the roughest stretches of his career. But man, he remains so fun to watch. I mean, here's a guy that's just, you know, will go deep, and he'll run the ball when you get inside the red zone. So I'm still ranking him as a top 3 guy. But I hear you. I hear that if you wanted to move this to some panic, I wouldn't push back.
No, I'll keep it at no panic, because I think in the aggregate, like, he's still going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback. And like, that just is. It is what it is. It'll just be a little bit of a bumpier ride than maybe what we expected. Let's talk about one of those Bills players, though. Bryce sends in, Dalton Kincaid is really the only player I have to start who I am actually worried about. Came into the season expecting him to get targeted at an elite level, and he is rarely used. That's not necessarily true from a rarely used perspective. The last 2 weeks, he is the target leader, especially with Khalil Shakir not out there. He got a lot of opportunities. I just think Dalton that, and by the way, Dalton Kincaid is a tight end. He was drafted as a tight end 5. He's currently the tight end 11. That's obviously just shows you the gap there in the performance versus the expectations. You know, he's had his weeks. He's not been as much of a disaster as any other tight end has been a disaster this year, right? I mean, shoot, better than drafting Mark Andrews so far has been Dalton Kincaid. But I do think that he was a little oversold in the offseason as a, oh man, this guy's going to be the clear number one receiver for the Chiefs. I would throw it to you this way, Dalton. How many times has it ever worked when a team's like, our number one receiver is going to be the tight end? Like, how many times has that ever actually worked with like Kelce and Gronk? And I would say that's probably it.
Yeah, you worried about this in the offseason when we talked about it. My answer is it could be worse. I mean, tight end is just such a joke this season. And it's not great that Kincaid's role didn't, you know, he didn't blow up with Shakir out. But obviously, Allen just had one of the worst games of his career. He completed 9 passes. Tight end position is the slowest to develop. We just saw Trey McBride be nothing for a year and a half before he, you know, exploded as the number one fantasy tight end down the stretch. So I could see a similar thing here with Kincaid and over the second half of this second season, him getting more involved. But yeah, it's not what we were hoping for with all the departures and vacated targets in Buffalo. We were hoping to see a bigger impact from Kincaid.
Yeah, so far on the year, Dalton Kincaid has an 18.6 air yard share. He has a 17.2 target share, which is actually pretty high for a tight end. It's just we were expecting more, and I think that's the problem, is the expectation. So I don't know. I think this is some degree of panic. Is it a some panic, or is it a total panic for Dalton Kincaid, do you think?
Yeah, I go either way, but I personally wrote down some just because the tight end position's so bad. I mean, we're going to be ranking him, you know, top 10 guys here, as a top 10 guy here still.
Yeah, it's one of those like, yeah, sure, you can panic about it. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Okay.
Could be worse. Could be Mark Andrews who
that's went what I'm
higher,
saying,
even.
Man.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. You got Dalton Kincaid. You're going to go pick up Cole Kmet, tight end 6 on the season? No, you're not, because he has like one big game. Yeah, you're going to pick up, I don't know, none of the dudes that are better than him are available, except like Isaiah Likely maybe got dropped, you know, but like he's going to be super volatile. So totally. It is what it is. It's kind of where it is. We almost need another, and this is kind of coping corner, but I don't want to put Dalton Kincaid in the coping corner. I think if we get like 3 more weeks of him, you know, just being super mid, maybe we could talk coping corner with Dalton Kincaid. We just need like I don't know. It is what it is. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Like, think, because there's nothing to really do about this here. He's not going to be the guy you probably drafted him to be, but he's going to be fine. Could be worse at the tight end position. All right. Let's talk about Breece Hall. Cause we got a lot of Breece Hall submissions here. And Dalton, few people were as high on Breece Hall as you have been even before this season. You've always been a big Breece Hall guy. So I'm curious how you feel about what's going on right now. Again, a lot of Breece Hall submissions here. First one comes in from Breaker of Chains. Very, very high title there. Breece Hall, the Jets look like a bad NFL team. I thought Wilson and Hall could be top 3 in their positions this year in what I thought would be a high-powered offense. Now I'm just sad. I'm sad too, Breaker of Chains. We also got this one from Bray. Bray? I don't know. I actively chose Breece Hall as my first pick this season, despite having been hoodwinked by Nate Hackett in the past. I drafted Russell Wilson in 2022 and Garrett Wilson in 2023. Is there any salvaging this pick? Will the Jets bounce back? Should I trade him for parts? Why did I do this again? And we got a great GIF of Michael Scott. You know, why are you the way that you are? Great stuff. Obviously, anytime we can use the Office GIF, I'm totally a fan of that. Why are you the way that you are, Nate Hackett? Great question. So Dalton, a lot of ways you can go with this. Give me your temperature check on Breece Hall, who was drafted as the running back 2 and is currently the running back 16 in Yahoo standard scoring, which feels high based on the last 2 weeks' results.
Obviously, at minimum, some panic here. The Jets have scored the exact same number of points through 5 weeks this season as they did last, I believe 93. Have we reached the point of wanting to bring back Zach here for Hall's fantasy value? I mean, this is
no.
This is crazy,
no.
Man. Rodgers refuses to use motion, reportedly. It's a predictable offense. Run up the middle or throw over the middle, as you guys have pointed out in your pod with Nate, I believe. The Jets, this is more of a Jets problem than a Braylon Allen is better than Breece Hall issue, Harmon. They're second worst in yards per carry before contact, despite facing the 5th fewest stacked boxes. Hall still had the 5th highest backfield snap share in week 5, 5th highest, the biggest split, and facing a tough Vikings run defense. They're entered averaging, just allowing 60 rushing yards per game to running backs. Allen was stuffed on back-to-back short 3rd and 4th downs. He dropped a pass. That said, if you were paying close attention, he replaced Hall on that goal line touchdown to Garrett Wilson. I think that Allen just looks, obviously he's bigger, right? He just looks the part, and Hall just keeps getting stuffed in short yardage. So I think there's a real concern that Allen takes over the goal line role. But the advanced stats, they're close, and Hall has just been getting hit in the backfield every single snap, it seems like. Losing touches on a bad offense, it's not great, Bob, but this is an awesome player who only Christian McCaffrey scored more fantasy points from week five on last year, despite playing in a bottom three offense. So I'm not selling low with Breece Hall here, but yeah, it's been obviously an extremely frustrating start.
Yeah, I want to get you a little closer to total panic than some panic on this one for two reasons. The first that, yeah, I agree with you. Braylon Allen is not better than Breece Hall. Is it, you know, that I don't think that's the case. I think Breece Hall is still a good NFL running back. Like, my eyes saw what they saw at the end of last year, especially. He was dynamic. He's always been a dynamic player when he's been healthy. The problem is that my eyes also saw Breece Hall play 66% of this, or excuse me, he gets 61% of the team rush attempts from week 10 to week 18 last year. And he had an 18.3% target share in those games too. This year, so far, through 5 weeks, Breece Hall has 57.5% of the team carries. Braylon Allen is much more involved than Dalvin Cook or whatever last year. And he's also, you know, kind of eating into passing game work here. Braylon Allen has a 5.8% target share. Breece Hall's target share is down to 14.2%. That's still high. Like, both of those are still good numbers for Breece Hall, but we're just shaving a little bit off the top for a guy that was drafted as the running back too. You know, that I think is problematic. The second thing here is that the Jets offense is a disaster. It's a disaster, man. And I don't want to overreact to one game against the Vikings. I don't think I'm overreacting to one game against the Vikings, because this is a unit that, like you said, it's very outdated. And the route combinations, especially, like, I was talking with Ian Harditz on Twitter.
22
targets for Garrett Wilson. And like three of them come over the intermediate middle of the field. Brother, that is where you've got to attack against modern defenses. We're having Garrett Wilson. People complain about Garrett Wilson not getting yards after the catch. You run a little 4-yard hitch and tell me how many yards you're running down the field. Give me a freaking break. Like, this offense is, it's the words of Derek Klassen, you know, when he wrote up Aaron Rodgers in his final year at the Packers, really ring in my head. Is it's very touchdown to check down for Aaron Rodgers. It's a lot of go routes and out routes, and then it's these very, very short slants, hitches, things like that. That's what Garrett Wilson's doing right now. That's not really going to work in the modern NFL. That's super problematic. I'm pretty concerned about the Rodgers stuff. The offensive line issues are still here and present with this team. So the fact that we've got Breece Hall having a little bit shaven off the top of his workload, like, I don't think you can have, like, you don't have that kind of margin for error on an offense that's struggling as hard as the New York Jets. You need him to own all of that work to pay back anything close to a running back to ADP. And right now he's not close to that because he's got that workload shaven off and the offense is in a hellhole here.
Yeah, you know, I say those Jets problems are, you know, not his fault, but they're also not going away, and they'll continue to affect his fantasy value. They had another 30-yard pass to Hall, though, in the end zone in that London game. Rodgers loves throwing to his running backs. I get the percentage may be skewed, but we just need more play volume. You know, we need the offense to get going. You're better than Zach Wilson, right? You can score more points. I mean, this was supposed to be the easy part of their schedule, too, the Jets. Remember, in the beginning, this was the easy part. Obviously, Broncos defense and Vikings are far better than we expected. But I mean, its schedule, I just remember coming out, was all like, oh, they could be, you know, off to a 4-1 start, you know, before they hit the tough part. So, yeah, man, I'm frustrated. Breece Hall, I think he's a fantastic player in his prime. And the opportunities, while not as high as we expected, are still there for a mid RB1 range, maybe not, you know, top three. So I think this would, you know, the time now is to trade for him, not trade him away, in my opinion. But obviously, I agree, this is bad. I mean, this is, but I feel like the market, it feels like this is a little worse. Dude, the dude's an awesome running back, man. He's going to break long plays. It's crazy he hasn't broke a long play. I mean, he breaks every few weeks. He'd break a 50-yard touchdown run last year with the horrible quarterback. I mean, you can't tell me this isn't going to start having the explosive plays. But, I mean, the offensive line's so bad, scheme's so bad. Maybe I'm fighting an uphill battle here. I mean, it's I'm willing to admit that this is obviously not ideal.
My problem here is that the next 4 weeks, we still have a pretty brutal schedule. Bills, Steelers, Patriots, that's whatever, and then Texans. It's not until week 10 and then week 11 into the bye do we start to get into the juicy part of the Jets schedule. And I said this on the recap show with Andy. I'm a little worried that by the time we get to that point of the season, this team is imploding like from the inside, because there's clearly like we're sitting on a powder keg with a lot of what's going on in New York right now. But I feel like you could have, like, the time could eventually be right to trade for Breece Hall. I'm not sure it's right now, just because I just feel so bad about where this offense is right now. But I'm with you, Dalton. Do we want to give this some panic or total panic?
Oh,
I'm a little closer to total panic than it sounds like you are.
I'm good with total. That's fine. That's. I mean, I probably should be totally, and maybe I'm in denial and coping. But yeah, we'll go total. We'll go total, Breece. It's okay.
We'll go total. And I'll just last point in this, because I mentioned it with the Falcons. I do think we have to consider like the downside cases for when we're drafting like two guys in the top 15 picks overall of fantasy from offenses that have made like just they had major questions. You know, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson were top three backs. Garrett Wilson and Drake London were both wide receiver, you know, kind of fringe wide receiver ones. London was maybe around 13, 14, depending on where you were drafting. Some other sites he was going higher than where he was going on Yahoo. I get it. I think London's going to be fine. I think Wilson in the long run will probably be fine. He won't quite return total value to where he was at, but I think he'll be fine. It's just going to be a slog for both of these guys, like both guys to go off in a given week until these offense really start rolling, which I feel a little bit better with the Falcons kind of getting rolling than the Jets right now.
I think London looks like the best pick between those two teams and all the fantasy players
totally,
right now.
Yeah.
But okay, so based on your total panic and some panic, sounds to me like you easily prefer Bijan than Breece right now. If moving forward,
yeah,
you,
I do.
Okay,
all right. Yep, I do feel better about the offense, which I don't know. 3 weeks ago, I probably said I would have said I felt better about the Jets. So who knows? This stuff is a moving target, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. All right, next one comes in from Man, and I feel like that's the tone that this listener has as they're talking about Anthony Richardson. I'm approaching panic on Richardson. I know he's banged up, but Flacco flat out gives the Colts a better shot at winning. AR was always a gamble with his limited starting experience at both levels. What are the odds they develop Richardson behind Flacco for the year? Follow-up tweet on this one. The arrow felt like it was pointing to the moon after week one, even though all the signs were there that the output wasn't sustainable. Also, should we panic that Flacco is an alien life form? How does he keep doing this? Definitely, I'm willing to examine the Joe Flacco alien life form theory. I really love to see Joe Flacco on like any other team than this, because there are a lot of teams that kind of need quarterbacks salvation right now. Here's the deal, Dalton. Like, I think there is a 0.0% chance that the Colts are going to bench Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco. Like a stone 0% chance. This is not a. You're giving me the face over there for the podcast listeners. He's giving me a skeptical face. I don't think that this coaching staff is feeling the heat like a Dave Canales, you know, in Carolina. You know, this is also the staff that drafted Anthony Richardson. That's not the staff that drafted Bryce Young last year. They also maybe have a more impulsive owner in Carolina than they do in Indianapolis, which feels weird saying that about the guy that hired Jeff Saturday in the middle of a football season not too long ago. But I think that there's a clearer developmental path with Richardson. I don't think he's going to get outright benched for Joe Flacco, but whether he gets back on track, like from a fantasy perspective, is a whole different question. Right now, Anthony Richardson, he was drafted as the quarterback 5 in ADP this offseason. He's currently the quarterback 27. Not ideal.
I mean, you're throwing Breece Hall at me, Harmon, and now AR. I mean, my guy's back to back here. This is painful.
This is torture. I don't make the rules.
Oh man. Richardson's top 5 in fantasy points per dropback. In case that means anything, he is number 5 in fantasy points per dropback.
Is he really?
Oh, wow. Yep, he's 5th right now. He's 8.5 YPA with the toughest schedule in the league too. Also, is that good? 8.5 yards per pass attempt and the toughest pass schedule. All right. Anyway, That said, Joe Flacco unquestionably gives the Colts a better chance of winning a football game right now, without question. He has an NFL high 7 straight games with multiple TD passes. They were having a quiet day on offense until the fourth quarter when they scored 24 mm-hmm. points. But here's one for you, Harmon. I threw you my AR propaganda, but here's another one that I could have skipped over, but I'll say it. Flacco ranks first in the NFL in passer rating. Anthony Richardson ranks last, so that's not ideal. Steichen did say ARs are starter when healthy, but what does that mm-hmm. mean? Because like, because the hip injury will linger. I know Anthony Richardson thinks he's a starter. He's going to want to start. So yeah. I need you to tell me, talk me off my ledge here. My AR is my guy. Thankfully, you know, he went 5 rounds after Josh Allen and all that, but I do have a lot of Anthony Richardson, and it's been a disaster after that first week. Of course, the kiss of death, the Yahoo Fantasy tweeting out, pat me on the back was a, yeah, that's still probably going to go as the best throw of the season, by the way, week one. But I'm like, that's a kiss of death. And sure enough, it's been downhill since then. Now dealing with an injury, let's hope it doesn't prevent him from running when he does return. But you're telling me, Harmon, zero chance as far as that he's getting benched for Flacco when he's ready to play, is your stance.
Oh yeah, stone zero.
Okay,
percent okay. chance that he's getting benched for Flacco. I think, in my opinion, maybe I end up being wrong about that. But
all right, well, Flacco's presence makes this whole situation weird for me. If he signed with Miami, which why did Miami not? I know it's very easy to say this now, but it's just so obvious. It's like, Tua lasted 1 year without the concussion, so he's good to go.
Honestly, we can just do the Skylar Thompson thing again.
I hate doing it after the fact, and I didn't hammer this before, so I really hate doing that. But Flacco said no one else even made him an offer. Like, I don't understand. The Browns didn't. Like, this is so confusing. Pathetic. But anyway, their neutral pass rate goes from like bottom three to top when he's in the game. But still, Richardson's throwing the ball downfield, getting 8.5 YPA and gonna run. Still has so much fantasy upside. Look at so many disappointments in these pocket passers. You know, the Strouds, the Mahomes. If Richardson's upside's higher than these guys moving forward, but. You know, he needs to get healthy and he needs to actually, you know, start and keep the job and complete more than 50% of his passes, ideally. You know, you know, he's the best deep passer in the league, but he's number one in passes over 40 yards and then like the worst in all the rest. Yeah. It's really wild, but it's perfect for fantasy. Indoors, all these awesome options. Pierce, I mean, Downs is back. The great play caller. I mean, I just absolutely love the setup if the dude can just, you know, throw the football accurately.
That would be nice, is if he could do that. Yeah, the funny thing is, I mean, I sure wish he had actually gotten a chance to play the damn Jaguars instead of Joe Flacco. That would have been great.
And down 20 points too in the fourth quarter, just throwing constant. I mean, it's a perfect setup for that to put up a big stats. But Flacco deserves credit. The dude is a gunslinger, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. I just wish he was on another team. It's nice to see him out there and be like, yeah, I'm not crazy. Josh Downs is a baller. Like, that guy should be super productive. Like, Alec Pierce has a role. Michael Pittman's good. It's nice to see a quarterback out there kind of reminding me that I am right about these receivers, because Richardson hasn't done that so far. But part of me, I don't know. I can't tell from your response there if you are some panic or total panic or what.
I don't think I know. I don't know. I don't think I even know what to do here. But I say don't sell low on him in fantasy. Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, youngest starting quarterback in the league. And let's hope he gets healthy. But yeah, it's obviously panic. It's either total or some.
Yeah, I think I want to put it. He was drafted quarterback 5. He was generally kind of like the next guy after the top 4. If you think he's going to be that, I am a little bit total panicked about the high end case of his range of outcomes, because you need the passing component to come along with it. And I do think we're going to get to a point where it's like, yeah, buddy, like, we want you to run, we want you to scramble, but they weren't even really doing design rush attempts with him when he was healthy. And then they did it after the hip thing. And now
only
he's
when
out
he's injured.
Only
calls
it
a design run when he's compromised badly with the hip. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, we'll see again. Gets a tough Titans defense in week 6 if he ends up playing. There are going to be spots for him, but this is a tough part of the schedule too. We've got the Texans, we got the Vikings, we got the Bills from week 8 to 10, get the Jets in week 11. I don't know. I'm a little bit at total panic in terms of him being like a top 5 fantasy quarterback. But I do think, like, there, again, 0% chance he gets better. or he, excuse me, that was harsh, 0% chance he gets benched. And I do think there's a good chance he gets better throughout the course of the season. I have not completely given up the ghost on Richardson developing into a solid starting quarterback.
I like his upside a bit more than yours, and I also like his downside a bit more. I think there's a non-zero chance he's just benched for Flacco. But can we also point out I was the highest among us and really hyped up Jaden Daniels as well. I really wanted y'all to draft him too, and it ranked him super high.
And
but
I was
Anthony Richardson,
I was very skeptical of Jaden Daniels being like this relative performance that he's given so far, not because I didn't like Jaden Daniels, because I didn't like the supporting cast and I was skeptical of Cliff Kingsbury. So, I mean, I'm definitely taking the L on that one for sure. So, yeah, you were right about Jaden Daniels.
But Richardson is either some or total panic. It's been ugly. He's hurt. He has a backup now who's better than him as far as, you know, passing ability right now in the NFL. But man, let's hope that Steichen sticks his word, the future of the franchise. And I like what I'm hearing from you. And now let's just, you know, see what let's just see if he can actually do it though. You know, enough of the hope he's not come back banged up, you know, and then he's not running as much. Let's see it. If he completes 45% of his passes another five games, then okay. Then that's that. But I'd at least
the
like to see him.
He goes.
Yeah. There you go. But I'd like to see him and not the toughest schedule, healthy, a bigger sample than, you know, he was great week one and then bad for three after. So I'd like to see him on the field again. Let's hope it's sooner rather than later.
All right. Now that we've just abused Dalton in back-to-back picks here with Breece Hall and Anthony Richardson, let's take a quick break. We'll regroup from a tough couple of moments there, and we'll come right back after this. All right, we're back. Next one comes in from I Am a Fool. Matt, I'm panicked on Travis Etienne. He's clearly losing work. Can I even trade him for anyone good at this point? I'm running low on these so-called high-end backs I drafted. Thanks. I love the thanks at the end. Hey, my life sucks. My fantasy draft pick isn't going well. But thanks. I appreciate the positive attitude. I don't have a lot of positive things to say about Travis Etienne, Dalton Del Don. I'm a little bit panicked, total panicked on him. Running back 9 ADP, current running back ranking, running back 26. And Tank Bigsby has suddenly become the most explosive back in the league in terms of speed, in terms of breakaway runs. He is up there. I know Doug Peterson says, like, no, Travis Etienne is our guy. They've also been trying to split these carries for quite some time, Dalton. I think that I'm at like kind of a total panic mode for Travis Etienne if you drafted him. And again, running back 9, I think there's like no shot he's that guy the rest of the season.
Finally, you're throwing me a player I faded before this season, but I'm with you on total panic here. Etienne had major, he's a really good player, but he had big splits the first 8 games versus the last 8 games last year. And you could tell he's not built for a huge, heavy workload, workhorse type back. I saw some people posit, imagine if those had been split, he would have been drafted even higher. But the problem is they were split that way because the physicality took a toll on his body. And the Jacksonville coaches said all offseason, we plan on lessening his workload. Now, like a dummy, I didn't target Tank Bigsby in many leagues because he wasn't very good either. And I did not expect him to be arguably the most improved player in the league this year. So, yeah, Etienne has a problem here, a few problems. One, lesser workload no matter what. Bigsby's emergence, and now he's dealing with a shoulder injury. That is partially why Bigsby played so much this last week. That has to be noted. It wasn't just a performance issue. Etienne is dealing with the shoulder injury, and I expect him to remain plenty involved as a receiver. But Bigsby, first in yards per carry, first in rush yards over expected per attempt, passes the eye test, just looks like a beast out there. So we're talking about maybe being a 1A, 1B situation. He may even have a lesser than 50% rush share moving forward, even healthy Etienne on a shaky offense. So yeah, drafted as a top 10 back, I would say it's total panic considering Bigsby might even be the preferred runner.
Yeah, so far the last 2 weeks, Tank Bigsby has handled 42.6% of the team carries. Travis Etienne is at 36.2, according to Fantasy Points data. Now, Etienne has 9 targets to 1 for Bigsby. It is funny, if you go back and look at some of the like LOL viral plays from Tank Bigsby's rookie season, they were mostly on passing downs where he made some brutal mistakes. Like the base down runs were fine. I think he got memed to death a little bit as a rookie, but it was clear the team never gave up on him. They talked about him all offseason that they were going to get him going. They have gotten him going. I don't know that Tank Bigsby's ever going to emerge as a fantasy starter necessarily, but I think he's a good player. He's a much improved player, and he's going to continue to slice away workload from Travis Etienne. So yeah, we're both at total panic, I think, on Etienne as a clear cut running back 1. All right, next one here is from IDP Jake. Pickens, Pickens, Pickens. George Pickens of the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're following at home. According to his eye black, he should be great every time, or should be, he should be a great target. If you didn't see this last night, Dalton, he had the eye black thing and it said open effing always instead of always effing open. I thought that was a little weird to make it like Yoda speak. Whole different thing there. Yeah, the Pickens stuff is weird, man. I mean, actually, you know what the thing is? It's not that weird. Talked about this on the solo recap, you know, where I thought he was playing great ball to start this year, Dalton. On film, I thought Pickens was playing his best football of his career. But now we're back here talking about him putting in low effort. The film is bad. He's loafing through routes. He's clearly pissed that he's been demoted. He's not taking, like, demoted. He's playing fewer snaps, whatever. And he's just an unreliable player. Like, this is who George Pickens is. So as much, I will say it's super disappointing that Pickens is in this place. Drafted as wide receiver 26. Current ADP is wide receiver 42. Because I thought he was playing so well to start the year. And now we're just back at a point where we're questioning the effort, and I think justifiably so.
Yeah, couldn't get it done against the Dallas defense, missing a lot of its best players. Dwayne McFarland's been hammering this, but he, Pickens has an 81% route rate. Wide receiver ones are typically in the 92 to 95% range. Arthur Smith did the same thing to Drake London. I mean, that's just looks like it's going to be an ongoing issue. Maybe Russell Wilson calf starts feeling better if a couple more losses and he can help this. I don't know. You seem skeptical. Yeah. I mean, the talent's there with Pickens, but his situation stinks. And yeah, I'm at probably where are we going? Total panic here.
Yeah, I'm definitely a total panic, I think. Just because it would be one thing if it was, okay, he's rotating on and off the field. It would be one thing if, yeah, okay, Justin Fields, like, how long can he hold this job? What does Russell Wilson look like? It's a run-heavy offense. He's not getting a lot of targets. But now the fact that we're back to the effort stuff, we're back to him potentially being, like, Mike Tomlin could say there's no bigger story. There's definitely a bigger story going on here. Like, you cannot tell me that. And because this is something we've seen with the player before. Like, that all of that stacked up together, that is the part that makes me panic. If it was just run heavy offense, like I knew he was going to have his weeks. He just had a big game last week, right? Like he just went over 100 yards against the Colts. Like, and he could have had a much bigger day against the Denver Broncos in week two. Really tough matchup. A couple plays get called back due to penalty. Like just unlucky stuff. I wouldn't be at total panic if it wasn't for this, like the personality part of this here.
I mean, expectations were higher than for me than on Pickens than you, and I should have listened to you more. I mean, the splits, you know, without Deontay Johnson were just like looked like a star, you know, the target share and stuff, but it's just not going to happen. I mean, I think he's going to have spike weeks and he's going to catch some long touchdowns and he'll probably finish as, do you think he can still finish as like a top 30-ish receiver? There's just no more, you know, there's no longer, yeah. Huge upside. Okay,
yeah.
All right. That's mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know, from a rest of season perspective, I definitely think he's probably still a top 30 guy. Okay. Yeah, but like more in that 26-ish, 24 type range than he has like the upside to get in the top 15. He's gonna have big weeks if he stays on this roster, man. I don't know. I've at least, you know, seen like Diana Russini from The Athletic thinking about like he could maybe be a trade target at the deadline. I wouldn't be too surprised at this point because it's in such a bad place between player and team.
Free him on the Chiefs, Pickens to Kansas City. You heard it. Harmon said it.
I mean, dude. I may or may not have just talked about this on another podcast like an hour ago. So you're reading my mind. Okay. Next one here. Another wide receiver that's been disappointing. Johnny G sends in Tank Dell. Even with Nico out, he only saw four targets. Loved him last year, but going to sit him for Lazard or Odunze next week, I think. Tell me to keep the faith. Tank Dell, wide receiver 29. Current wide receiver ranking, Dalton Del Don. He did miss a game, but wide receiver 71. What is our panic level on Tank Dell?
I loved Dell before the season. I'm total panic right now. I just think he's not right physically. I looked into the surgery, you know. I'm like, he did not have tightrope. I thought it was different than a Tony Pollard situation, but looking at the separation stats, looking at using your eyeballs, maybe it was the gunshot wound. Maybe it's a mental hurdle I've seen posited. The routes have been there. But man, really discouraging that he couldn't produce after Nico Collins left early Sunday. He saw like two or three targets immediately, but then, you know, not much. His stats look a lot different if he pulled down two long passes that could have gone for scores. But Yeah, I mean, it's very discouraging. I mean, Stephon Diggs has looked fine. I mean, he's looked good. He's not washed, but to me, he doesn't look like someone who should be commanding targets over what Dell showed me as a rookie. So my only answer or reasoning here has to be that he's just not right physically. Nico Collins has changed from day to day to week as we record this. So, gross. I mean, maybe the opportunity will be there. Another guy I'm saying do not drop, Tank Dell. But, man, it hasn't. Yeah, I mean, do you think it's a physical thing or do you think it's just the addition of Diggs and missing some preseason? I mean, what do you think's going on here? Because it's clearly not what we saw from him as a rookie.
Yeah, like, forgive me for speaking with such confidence about like a medical thing that I do not really obviously know the answer to this, but I think it's 100% a physical thing because I am watching the player that I like. Okay. People can criticize, you know, reception, perception, separation metrics, all they want. Use your eyeballs, people out there, put them on the film from last year and then put on what we're watching this year. It's different, man. It just is. Okay. Like he is not the same guy this year that he was last year. And man, like, you know, I tried to talk about this stuff in the offseason. I thought the tiebreaker for like which, because I know it seems crazy now because Nico Collins is like the best receiver in football and Diggs has been good and Dell hasn't. But there were analysts out there that wanted to tell you, like, oh no, Nico is gonna get usurped by Tank Dell based on what he did as a rookie, man. And like my biggest pushback to that was that the tiebreaker between these three Texans receivers is that one of them is coming off of a serious injury and was shot in the offseason. Like if he's not right physically, mentally, whatever, yeah. Like, I mean, totally understandable. Like I've charted the games this year and the results are not even close in terms of a reception perception standpoint to what we saw last year. Like I almost want to put Tank Dell temporarily in the coping corner with the caveat of we'll bring him back out when we start to see good things. I just think that like there's also a chance because I do know he is a good player and like sure he could get right at any point. Nico Collins is out. He could score a touchdown on the Patriots this week and then we look stupid for putting him in the coping corner. So I don't know. This I think is actually our sneaky hardest one here, Dalton, because it's been a disaster. I mean, drafted as the top 30 receiver. He's not inside the top 70 wide receivers. But I think it's so obvious what the reason is. Like, it's not that Tank Dell sucks. It's not. Like, Tank Dell does not suck. He's a good football player. But it's just he's not that same guy right now. But he could be that guy, like, I don't know, in a snap. And then, shoot, they play the Colts in week 8. And he goes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns on the Colts. That is totally possible. So he's a really tough one in terms of the panic meter on him. He's a guy that I wish we could just do. Again, it is what it is. Put him in the coping corner for a couple weeks. And I don't know what we're doing about that.
Yeah, that's totally fair, especially if you think it's 100% a health issue. Before we move on, though, Harmon, I just want to ask you about the Texans' offense. I mean, they're winning the games. They're 4-1, but 29.5% of their set of downs have reached 3rd and long. Only the Browns are higher. I mean, they're just relying on Stroud doing his miracles on 3rd and long. Joe Mixon, is he going to help the run game that much when he returns from an injury? So there's something weird with this. They won last couple home games, but I don't know. It's not clicking. Like, and now Collins may miss a couple weeks. And Dell's not right. So I don't know. It's just interesting there with the Texans. Obviously, the results have been there, but it feels like it could be so much better.
Definitely could be so much better. And I think it will be so much better when everything's kind of locked in here. Not having Joe Mixon makes a difference. You know, not that Joe Mixon is an elite running back or anything, but he's perfectly in tune with this system. And they're pretty, you know, I said this a lot about Bobby Sloak in the offseason. I thought he got a little bit overrated last year. They're just doing the basic Shanahan stuff, like pretty basic zone, outside zone kind of run scheme. Mixon's great at that. That's why he was brought in and extended by this team. You know, we're going down to Cam Akers and Dario Ngwale. Like, it's not going to be the same from a run game perspective. So they're consistently on third and long situations with CJ Stroud's good enough to shoot him out of it. 100%. But that's still like making it, he's having to walk a tightrope, is CJ Stroud there. The offensive line's not playing that well. You know, the receivers have just not been what we thought. Nico Collins is great. Steph Diggs has been good, but Dell has not been like a needle moving player. So, and now we don't have Nico. So I think when everybody's locked in and healthy, it'll be fine. But a lot of things are below expectations for what's going on in Houston right now. None of which is CJ Stroud. That guy is incredible.
Baller.
All right, let's. So, what? Where are we at? Are we? I don't know. Do we decide coping corner, total panic? Like, I don't know what we're doing with Tank Dell.
I had written down total panic, don't drop. But if you're convinced it's a health issue, then I'm cool with coping corner. I mean, it's for now. I mean, you're not starting Tank Dell. That's for sure.
Yes, it is a for now visit to the coping corner. I think at some point we are taking Tank Dell out of the coping corner, but he is at a point right now because it's not like with Ayuk earlier. I said last week, I don't need to see a prove it game from Ayuk to start him this week against the Cardinals because he's good. We know he's good. He's not coming off an injury. He just needs to get fully dialed in. Obviously, that worked out well. I do kind of think we need to see a prove it week for Tank Dell, but that could be week six against this Patriots team. Okay, so we're putting Tank Dell in the coping corner for right now, and hopefully we are taking him out later on.
And for what it's worth, Tony Pollard was like PFF's highest graded back the final 8 weeks. All the tackle breaking numbers that are usually sticky improved the further removed he got from a broken leg, you know. So maybe Dell does get much more explosive throughout the second half of the year. But yeah, it's been it's not encouraging right now.
All right, this is going to be a quick next one. Alex G sends in, is Keenan Allen washed? Keenan Allen, wide receiver 36, current wide receiver ranking 97. Yeah. Can we just put Keenan Allen in the coping corner? I'm actually tired of talking about Keenan Allen because I never have anything nice to say. And like my mother raised me, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like Keenan Allen is not, I don't know if he's washed, but he's not a difference maker. I don't think he's a plus asset for this passing game right now. And he's really just going to like take targets from DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. I don't think you're ever starting Keenan Allen and feeling great about it. He's going to have big games. Don't at me when he has big games. He's going to have some moments, but like you're probably never going to start him confidently in fantasy. And I just don't even really want to talk about him on the show anymore because I never have anything good to say.
I'll just quickly say a couple positives. The Bears have gone exclusively three wide receiver base on 35 Caleb Williams dropbacks. DJ Moore, 34 routes. Odunze, 34. Allen, 32. That's good. Caleb Williams is also clearly improving. That's also good. But Keenan may be washed dealing with this ongoing heel injury. Maybe that's just the culprit, maybe it won't go away. So, and he has two ballers ahead of him, DJ Moore and Odunze. So, yeah, it's that offense, yes, it's producing against some really favorable matchups, but I still expect it to be probably not good enough to provide for three wide receivers. So yeah, it's definitely total panic for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I say we just put him in the coping corner.
I won't push back.
I mean, look, I do feel, like I said, I feel bad because it's mostly a health thing with Keenan Allen. Like he just is not the same player right now because of that injury, and maybe that gets better. But for now, I think he does need to go in the coping corner because you just should not be starting Keenan Allen at this point in the fantasy season, even with buys and things like that. Okay, next one in. John sends in JSN. Maybe not panic for where we drafted him, but he's been frustrating to roster. He gets incredible usage, yet through 5 weeks, he ranks as a fantasy wide receiver 4. The Seahawks are playing well. With the opportunity he's getting, I hope for at least a weekly wide receiver 2. He's not it. John, I'm actually kind of pushing back on you in this because ADP wide receiver 39, current wide receiver ranking, he's wide receiver 30. He's definitely not a wide receiver 4. I get it, mostly big game, but that's how the position works. You have big games, and sometimes you catch 30 yards and a touchdown like he did in week 5. I think I've cooled my jets a little bit on the Seahawks offense overall, Dalton, but I don't really have any panic on JSN. I think he's been fine.
I get it. I'll push back. Some panic here, man. Okay. Geno is due for touchdown regression, clearly. Seattle had the ball 8 minutes in the first half of Sunday's game. The Giants had 42 plays to 18. And Seattle has by far the highest neutral pass rate this season, like by far. He's seen the most slot snaps in the league. But is JSN good, Harmon? Like, I keep going back and forth on
this.
Like, we gave him the wrist excuse last year. He's 42nd in target share, 62nd in yards per route run. That's with a good quarterback. His ADOT is still 70th, man. I mean, he's not seeing targets downfield. That huge College Bowl game came against backup running backs at corner. I keep thinking of that. I don't know if he's good or not. I mean, Tyler Lockett looks better to me out there, faster and running down the field. So I don't know. I mean, it's I have JSN. That's great. He's wide receiver 30 and all these targets, but it's unclear to me if he's any good at football.
I think he's fine. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's bad. I think he's fine. Like, is that good enough? I don't know.
That's good enough. But you're not panicking probably because your expectations were probably less than mine.
I definitely thought he was a good draft pick, ranked him even ahead of wide receiver 39, and he's been better than wide receiver 39 this year. Like, he's not going to have some massive breakout season because DK has been too good. And like, this is a spread out offense, man. Like, Tyler Lockett's not going to, he's not just going to get abducted by aliens. He's going to continue to get targets here.
Yeah, but how about more down the field, you know, than eight yards? Yeah, I mean, it's, come nice. On, let's throw some more. But yeah, but Geno Smith's going to start throwing more touchdowns. It's been weird with that. But I don't know. JSN, I have some panic.
All right, I'll give you some panic if you, you know, are concerned about the expectations, but I'm pretty much at no panic. But we can, for all the right. graphic's sake, we can do some panic. All right, last one here. Christopher C. David Njoku, he's either hurt or getting terrible output due to Deshaun dumpster fire Watson. Dalton, let's just throw the Browns into the coping corner. We're putting a whole, we're 5 weeks into the season. We're putting two teams into the coping corner, but I think the Browns deserve to go into the coping corner because, like, you're not starting anybody from this team in fantasy right now and feeling great about it. David Njoku's hurt again, had to go for an MRI here on Monday. Amari Cooper's like got the drops again. Jerry Jeudy is Jerry Jeudy. Like, Deshaun Watson's a joke. Like, it's a joke what's being put on the field for the Cleveland Browns right now. So yeah, I mean, just I'd say coping corner for the whole Browns offense.
I'm good with it. You're probably starting. Some people are definitely still starting Amari Cooper, especially at home. You know, the targets or the volumes there. But boy, this is a total disaster, Harmon. Deshaun Watson's 4.8 YPA is the lowest through five games in NFL history. Minimum 170 attempts. Been sacked on 24.1% of his dropbacks against the blitz. Highest rate in the league. The league average is 9%. Taken 18 sacks, lost three fumbles over the last three games. Hasn't eclipsed 5.5 YPA in any game. Browns only team in the league without 300 yards of offense. That was before even last week. I mean, teams have reached that mark. They only totaled 212 against that Washington defense. It doesn't even have an interception this season. He's unplayable. Yeah, Sean Watson's unplayable.
I don't know if James Winston's going to come in and light the world on fire or anything, but they just got to try something else. Watson's like, not, yeah, they got to try something else, but they won't because I don't think they can. I don't think ownership is going to let them do that. And I don't know, if I was Kevin Stefanski, I would give it a shot. Like, just try to play James Winston. What's the worst thing they're going to do? They're going to fire you. Then everybody knows what you got. You know, he'd get another job. He's 2-time coach of the year. I'd give it a shot, but I don't even know if I'm giving Stefanski the benefit of the doubt in this situation. Probably one of those. There's no heroes in this particular one. So, all right. With that, let's give a final update on the coping corner. We have the entire LA Rams offense, which Kyren Williams is like one of the best backs in fantasy, and he's in the coping corner. Feels kind of weird. Mark Andrews, Tank Dell, Keenan Allen, and the entire Browns offense is in the coping corner. There's no way we don't look like jackasses for at least some of these. Kind of look like a jackass so far for the Rams thing. But again, we gave the caveats of what that was. And the Tank Dell thing, we reserve the right to remove Tank Dell from the coping corner at any point. So having this many names in the coping corner 5 weeks into the season, Dalton, does feel a little tenuous.
Yeah, but deserved. I mean, the Browns are just so bad right now. At least scoring did pick up this last weekend. But it makes sense to have so many people coping with the year it's been so far.
All right, let's take one final break. When we come back, we'll get to our waiver wire segment right after this. All right, we're back. Let's take a look at this week's waiver wire connections presented by Spectrum. Dalton and I are going to share our large, medium, and small priority on the waiver wire this week. Essentially, what that means is, you know, look, everybody's league is different. Well, your fab, you know, how your priority works, everybody's different. But we're going to try to just give you like the players you should go, you know, a little small amount, medium amount, large amount, really try just sort of to put a priority on this list here. So Dalton, get me started with your small priority player this week.
Josh Downs has seen target shares 28%, 32%, and 27% over his three games since returning from a high ankle sprain. Small sample, Harmon, but Downs has a higher targets per route run and yards per route run than Malik Nabers. Downs matched Michael Pittman's production before suffering an injury last year. I mean, this is not anything new. That said, why it's a small priority is because Downs' fantasy value hinges on Anthony Richardson's availability. Downs and all the receivers just much more productive with Joe Flacco, who has an NFL high 7 straight games with multiple TD passes. The Colts' pass rate over expectation also shoots way up with Flacco. He's targets underneath routes and the slot far more. Indy's defense is also a major problem, and Jonathan Taylor has a high ankle sprain, so the setup is great for Downs as long as Joe Flacco is starting. He's still available in 60% of Yahoo leagues.
I really like that one. Obviously, you know, I'm a big Josh Downs fan. You know, hearing you say Malik Nabers and Josh Downs in the same sentence, Dalton, that gets the juices flowing for me. I love Josh Downs. Yeah, definitely. But here's the thing, though, Dalton. I'll say I do think he can have weeks with Anthony Richardson out there, because I think like Richardson needs him out there to be sort of that quarterback settler. And they really haven't been together on the field very much. So I definitely hear you that with Flacco, you feel more confident in playing him. But I'm not saying he's totally dead when Richardson is out there either.
Man, he just looks so good. And returning from a high ankle, too. You know, I thought he'd be compromised the first couple of weeks. But, man, he was just, debating Pittman or Downs in DFS, went Pittman. Watching that early in the game, took 3 minutes to realize that was a mistake. And Pittman caught the short score, but Downs is clearly Flacco's preferred target.
All right, from one of my favorites to another one of my, I'm keeping the candle lit for this guy. Small priority player this week, Rashad Bateman. Yes, I'm doing it again. Rashad Bateman, only 9% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Here's the deal. Bateman's had a couple of, he had a good game last week. Let's put it that way. 4 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown. In terms of like participation, he has been on the field 75% route participation all year long. He's an air yards guy, 27.2% of the air yards. He's second on the team behind Zay Flowers. It's actually pretty close between him and Zay Flowers in terms of air yards. He's never going to be a highly targeted player in this offense. We know they want to run the ball. We know what the Ravens want to do. But what we saw last week, Dalton, is that when this offense wants to open itself up, they can do it. They have some talent here. And obviously it was against a bad Bengals defense. Well, guess what? The next 2 weeks, they get the Washington Commanders in week 6. They get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Baltimore in week 7. Those are definitely two pretty beatable secondaries. So if you're desperate, you're playing in a deeper league. Again, I'm not telling you to go crazy for Rashad Bateman. He's only wide receiver 47 on the season, but still playing a little bit above expectations. I think Bateman, when he gets targeted, can make plays, and he probably should get the ball a little bit the next couple weeks against these bad secondaries.
I hope you're right about Bateman. I still have him in a couple of dynasty leagues. I love that you remain a believer. My medium pickup is Ty Chandler on the Vikings. Definitely a downgrade from Aaron Jones, no question. But he saw elite usage after Jones left with a hip injury. The Vikings have a legit offensive scheme. They rank 2nd in expected fantasy points at the running back position. Minnesota does have a bye this week, but Chandler is well worth stashing just to see Jones' status. I think Chandler would be a top 12 fantasy back if Jones is out, and Chandler's available in more than 70% of Yahoo leagues.
The schedule for the Vikings when they come off the bye, they get the Lions, good run defense, but probably a high scoring game. Then they get the Rams, Colts, the Jaguars, some really good games on the schedule for the Vikings when they come off of their bye. So if Ty Chandler has to start 1-2 of those games, he is definitely going to be somebody that people are playing in fantasy. I'll stick at wide receiver for my medium priority player, and I'll say Jalen Tolbert. 7% rostered. Jalen Tolbert, producer Collins' favorite player in the NFL. Tolbert looked good against the Steelers on Sunday. He's quietly been making plays and stacking weeks. Tolbert, you know, if you go to his prospect profile on receptionperception.com, the guy had some pretty interesting marks as a prospect. Just didn't really get going in the first couple of years in the league, but he's run a route on 78% of his dropbacks. He's got a 24% air yard share, which is the 2nd on the team. Downfield looks. I think he can be something like a facsimile of the old Michael Gallup role on this team. Go routes, curls, comebacks, that X receiver stuff. And look, man, they need somebody to step up. Brandon Cooks was not going to be the guy to step up, and he's now on IR. Tolbert was the guy to step up in week 5 against the Steelers, pulls in the game-winning touchdown. I think he can give you some weeks as like a deeper wide receiver play. Definitely should be on rosters, I think, now. 9% or 7% rostered is just way too low. We get the Lions in week six. Their perimeter coverage is definitely better than their slot coverage. This could be a big CeeDee Lamb game, but at the same time, Tolbert could get in there for a few plays as well.
Jalen Tolbert has just four fewer targets than CeeDee Lamb over the last four games and something like five fewer fantasy points. Lamb's barking at Dak Prescott Sunday night. Love the Tolbert call. My big pickup is Tank Bigsby on Jacksonville. Like I said, he looks like the most improved player in the league to me. He ranks first in yards per carry, first in rush yards over expectation per attempt. That number is far better than Devon Achane's league-leading mark last season. Bigsby's getting 6.5 yards per carry after contact, Harmon. Bigsby ranks 38th in rushing attempts, 5th in broken tackles. We're dealing with a small sample, and Bigsby did see more snaps last week because of Travis Etienne injuring his shoulder. But man, I think this has become a 1A, 1B situation. And even if Etienne remains the starter for now, this backfield's going to be more evenly split. Bigsby looks too good to be on waiver wires, regardless of his current spot on the depth chart. He's a must add in all fantasy leagues and available in 75% of them in Yahoo.
I'm surprised that he's available in that much.
I know.
He needs to be like 100% rostered.
Totally. I didn't think he would be even an option here. And I'm like, whoa, he's only rostered in 23% of Yahoo. That's crazy. Go add Bigsby.
Yeah, he's been putting in the box score, and you know, if Etienne has to miss any time, Bigsby is going to, you know, really shoot up the rankings here. Obviously, it's tough to trust anything with Jacksonville, but still, if you're getting a potential starting running back off the waiver wire, you got to do it. And I think that's the case for my large priority player here, Tyrone Tracy, the Giants rookie running back. Definitely got picked up a good bit before the week five kickoff, but still, he's only 23% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Man, he was awesome in week five. This guy's got juice. He's got explosiveness. You know, Andy and I talked about on the recap show as a former wide receiver convert. He had a great preseason. Definitely was a good deep sleeper coming into the year. All that's kind of coming together. Week five usage was awesome. 59.2% of the snaps, 52.9% of the rush attempts. You know, didn't get a ton of targets. Actually, Eric Gray got a few more targets, but you know, he's got that kind of in his bag. The actual base down rushing work was impressive with Tyrone Tracy, which is great to see. Overall, utilization-wise, I think he's going to continue to be involved in this offense. Look, Devin Singletary could come back, sure. But the Giants, you know, they can just mix in Tracy more and more as the year goes on, even if Singletary is out there. And if there's even a slight chance that Singletary is going to miss week six, you've got to get Tracy out there. They're playing the Bengals this week. So I feel like if there's no Singletary, Tracy's almost like a clear-cut running back. I don't know, definitely a high-end three. The position is so murky. He could be a running back two. Why not? And shoot, I mean, if Singletary plays, like, I think Tracy could still be kind of a what-the-heck flex while bye weeks are going on.
Love the Tracy call. He had the most rushing yards last week, and that was with Eric Gray getting a lot of the work in the first quarter before losing that fumble at the goal line. Tracy's going to contribute as a receiver. That's what he played in college. He looks great. And the Giants' run scheme impressed me, man. It was opening up holes for him. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Singletary is getting up there in age, injury prone. I think Tracy could be a difference maker over the second half of the season.
Yeah, especially because the offense looks good. I mean, hey, no Malik Nabers in week five, and Daniel Jones puts together a competent game, gets the ball to Darius Slayton. All roads always lead back to Darius Slayton for the New York Giants. So, yeah, impressive performance by the Giants in week five. Certainly an impressive performance by Tyrone Tracy, who another guy that I think probably needs to be close to 100% rostered in fantasy football. This has been the Waiver Wire Connections on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. And that is going to do it for us today. Dalton, appreciate you, buddy, and appreciate you hanging through during the tough stretch of this pod where we only talked about your favorite players. But, hey, man, I love Tank Dell going into the season. You know, JSN is another guy that I liked as well. So we all have to take our lumps, I guess. It's that part of the year.
Oh, totally fair, Harmon. Appreciate talking ball with you. Get well soon, AR.
Yes, please, God. Like, the fantasy industry, the fantasy industrial complex cannot handle an Anthony Richardson like long injury absence. Let's get this guy out there and let's get him balling with Josh Downs and some of these players. For now, that is going to do it for us on today's show. On Wednesday, Sal Vetri is back. He joins me for the post week five data dump as we officially turn the corner to week six and we tell you all the stats that you need to know heading into those games. Until then, we are out.